Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Well, hello everyone from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson. You are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on this magical network we call Blog Talk Radio as we reach around the world to listeners from New Zealand, Australia, England, Ireland. Lots of different places are picking up our show, and that wouldn't be possible if it wasn't for our studio producers, Melissa Hovey, and our technical engineer, Wayne Larson, and handling the music tonight, Scott Carney. And as always, from his Wild World News studios that are still massive, the Honorable Distinguished Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Well, good evening, Mr. Batson. How's everything out there in the jungles of Clinton Falls?
Well, we've had no rain in the last 3 days. It's been absolutely beautiful weather, and I was running around the place today, very excited about tonight's show because we're having Jimmy Steinfeld on the show.
That's right.
And he has a wonderful new book, Rock and Roll Lens, 30 Years of Music Photography and Stories. I've had my copy for about a month or more, and it's absolutely amazing. There's going to be lots of stuff to talk to Jimmy about as we enjoy his company tonight on Wild World, so we're looking forward to that.
Yes, we are.
Next portion of our program is brought to you by We Want You Cottages in Chautauqua Lake, New York, Maysville, New York. Go to their website, www.wewantyou.com. Peter Weimer and his wife, Kathy. They have a fantastic resort, cabins. Oh, gosh, and the fishing's just now started on Chautauqua Lake. We were there about 3 weeks ago. It's absolutely beautiful. And the lake looks like an ocean. It's so big. And the musky season will be coming in soon. The walleye, perch. It's just fantastic. Great place to go on a vacation in western New York. And that website, again, is www.wewantyou.com. They make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Good evening. This is Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News for May 16th. Now, I want to give a heads up to all of our Alaskan listeners.
Oh.
Yes, it's that time of the year. Vessels operating inside Glacier Bay National Park and Preserve are being required to slow down in order to protect humpback whales from injury.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, now the vessels will be restricted to going 15 miles per hour in Lower Glacier Bay and at the mouth of the bay. Now, the humpbacks come to Glacier Bay in the summer to feed on fish. In the winter, they head to the Hawaiian Islands.
Well, isn't that...
Yeah, those are some smart mammals.
Let me tell you.
I might have to join a pod myself.
You should, guys.
Yeah.
Summer in Alaska and winter in Hawaii.
Just wanted to give a shout-out. We've got a lot of listeners there in Alaska.
Okay, thank you.
All right, from big to small, every little thing counts. Little Rock, Arkansas, a dime-sized, sand-colored snail found only on Mount Magazine in western Arkansas, has become the first invertebrate to be delisted under the Endangered Species Act.
Hmm.
Now, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service announced that the snail was the first listed as threatened in 1989, and its population has remained stable since in 1996.
You know, that's quite amazing how they can actually keep tabs on this population of snails.
Something as small as a snail, yeah.
How do they do that? Do you think they might put radio collars on them?
Possibly, yes. I can see that now. Yeah, they can track him down because he hasn't moved from the spot they left him at.
Didn't you do a story how long a snail can sleep or something a while back?
Yeah, up to 3 years.
Oh, there we go. Well, maybe they catch them sleeping.
All right, well, let's catch a wave. Marathon, Florida. A tagged juvenile loggerhead sea turtle that traveled some 2,000 miles on ocean currents is expected to make a full recovery after being rescued off the Florida Keys. Officials at the Key Base Turtle Hospital said hopefully they'll be turning loose here in a few weeks.
You're just full of good news tonight.
Yep.
Oh, my Lord.
Now, before I do this next story, how are the bats and bears doing?
Oh, well, they're looking at me as we speak.
Would you like to tell our audience what their names are?
Buck and Faith.
That's right, Buck and Faith. And how big are Buck and Faith?
Well, Buck, that's the boy, named after our good friend who's long gone, Jim Buckingham. He weighs about 550 pounds, and she weighs about, just guesstimating, about 400.
Well, would you like a couple of more bears?
No, thank you.
All right. Well, Waynesboro, Virginia, the Wildlife Center of Virginia is caring for a record 8 black bear cubs.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine 8 at one time?
Oh, my God. That's a party. That is a party.
The 7 males and 1 female can be viewed at the online critter cam. If you want to see these cute little guys. Now, you know, they were probably separated from their mothers or they were orphaned, and that's how
sure.
they ended up there. But, you know, kudos for taking care of those little guys.
Oh, yeah, and you know what they like to do? They like to suck on each other's ears. And there's a great photograph somewhere of about a half a dozen of them, like in a line, sucking on the one in front of its ear. It's just hilarious.
Oh, I remember that from your bears doing that. Hey, have you heard any cicadas yet this year?
No, I have not. Should
well,
I be?
I always look forward to the cicadas and the lightning bugs because that means summer to me.
Yes, it
cicadas
does.
Cicadas and lightning bugs. Well, Chef Bun Lay of New Hampshire, Connecticut, owner of Maya's Sushi, is looking forward to the cicada invasion there and the chance to try out a few recipes. Yeah. Lay says the bugs have great nutritional value, and his recipes will honor that. He plans to steam some, boil others, you know, with the appropriate spices, of course.
Well, yes. I have heard that insects are full of protein, and most of your primates do eat them, so maybe we should learn to eat what the primates eat. Huh?
That's right, your daughter Elizabeth.
Oh, she enjoys a tasty grasshopper if she has the opportunity.
Yeah, now Elizabeth is an olive baboon.
It pretty much makes my wife slightly throw up in her mouth when she sees it, but but she doesn't, yes, and she is an olive baboon.
All right. Yes, and she is a cute little thing.
Yes, she is.
All right, well, you know how I always say nothing smells like a wet buffalo?
Yes.
Well, I might have to change it to nothing smells like a wet North American bison.
Oh.
To be proper.
That would be proper.
All right. Now, a North American bison museum has opened in Rapid City, South Dakota.
Oh.
Which is going to kind of chronicle the bison's history. Now, speaking of museum artifacts, billionaire Ted Turner can keep his Yellowstone National Park bison calves.
Well, we can?
Yes. Now, listen. Judge Judy Brown dismissed a request by wildlife advocates to overturn an agreement Turner made with the Montana Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the agreement transferred dozens of bison to Turner's private ranch to be taken care of for 5 years. In exchange, Turner gets 75% of the offspring, which will total about 150 animals.
Oh, wonder why they have a problem with that.
Yeah, see, that's what my staff and I are trying to find out.
Well, you stay on that because
there's something there that we're going to have to figure out what's going on.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, in the local news, now I don't know if you've heard about this or not, but the Indiana Department of Natural Resources officials say a report that a bull shark has been found in the Wabash River.
Well, our studio producer Melissa Hovey would know about that.
Well,
they've been known to go up freshwater rivers.
I'm sorry to report that it's just another fish tail.
Okay, good.
Yeah, well, a photograph posted on Terre Haute's TV station's Facebook page showed a bull shark the poster claimed had been seen in the river at Fairbanks Park.
Huh.
So.
If I'm not mistaken, they do swim up the Mississippi.
That's right. They have found them in Illinois before.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Also locally, the Indiana Department of Natural Resources Commission will vote on July 16th on whether to remove the peregrine falcon from the state's endangered species list, because they've recently found 300 nesting pairs of falcons, and so they're talking about maybe taking them off the endangered species list.
Well, I might as well leave them on for a while. It doesn't cost any more.
It's much safer to ignore all of that and just leave them alone.
Yeah.
All right, well, it looks like we're running a little long tonight. And, you know, as we always do, we close out the Wild World News with some animal facts.
Oh, good.
Are you ready?
Those.
All right. Now, an electric eel can produce a shock of up to 650 volts.
Have you ever been shocked by one of those before?
A very small one in Panama.
I was once, too.
And I hope I don't ever have to do it again.
Yeah, it hurts. It gets your attention.
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Another fact. A chameleon's tongue is twice the length of its body.
I knew that.
Yes,
I should. I'm the animal guy.
Yes, you are a herpetologist, so yes, you should know stuff like that.
Yeah.
Also, now here's the most interesting one. An albatross can sleep while flying.
You know, there's some pilots that do that, too.
Yes, I've done that myself. Anyway, that's the Wild World News for May 16th.
Well, once again, a fine job done by Dr. Henry Day and his staff at the Wild World News Studios in Indianapolis, Indiana. We'd also like to encourage everyone to go to my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com, and you can help our work in wildlife rescues. We have tigers and bears we've rescued, alligators, you name it, and make a contribution. It's simple. It's LarryTheAnimalGuy.com or my email, Larry@LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. Underwriters that support this program make it possible for us to be on Blog Talk Radio.
It's physical, only logical. You must try to ignore that and mean more than.
Artists that are part of an exciting new book, Rock and Roll Lens, 30 Years of Music Photography, and Stories from our guest tonight, all the way from Laurel Canyon, the holy place of American music,
right.
Jimmy Steinfeld. Good evening.
Good evening, Larry and Dr. Day.
Good evening, Jimmy. Glad to have you back.
It's great to be back.
What an amazing book you have here. I think you've heard that before.
Yes, I have, and thank you very much.
You have been photographing rock stars for how many years? Well, it's, dummy me, 30 years. It's right there on your title. And you continue to do so, I assume.
That is true.
Who's the latest?
Well, I recently did a photo shoot on, did stills on a video shoot with the artist Brett Copeland,
mm-hmm.
Right here in Laurel Canyon.
Wow.
And this coming Friday, well, it's tomorrow, I'm going to be doing photos at the Viper Room, and there's going to be some great players there, including Clem Burke, the drummer for Blondie, and many
mm-hmm.
others. And it just keeps rocking and rolling along.
It does. Well, I tell you what, I'm just so envious as I look through this book. The Madonna page, in fact, playing like a virgin was absolutely perfect, because this one photograph that you have on page 17, I would say, is that era. There she is, looking so maternal.
Thank you. That was my first picture that ever appeared in Rolling Stone,
mm-hmm.
and that was of Madonna's Like a Virgin tour. And she's wearing a wedding dress, and that was one heck of a tour and a great show. And it's been fun to watch her career all through these years, and she changes all the time.
She's done okay, huh?
Indeed.
It's absolutely amazing. And I'll tell you what, you have such a style in your photography. I love the photograph of Eric Clapton.
Oh, thank you.
And
there's a fun story with it, too.
Well, tell
I'm
us.
I'm sure you read.
Tell us.
Absolutely. I'll remind, you know, and I'll say it for your listeners. The book that I put together, Jimmy Steinfeld, Rock and Roll Lens, 30 Years of Music Photography and Stories, I laid it out in such a way that on the right-hand side of the pages, as you open the book, on the right-hand side is a photo,
mm-hmm.
a photo that I've taken through the years, and on the left side is a story that goes along with the photo.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, the most challenging part of putting this book together was doing the writing, because photography is my first love, but I felt it was important to have stories that were
sure.
interesting and go with it. So I'll read that story. It's brief. Ready?
Yeah, absolutely.
Here we go. Okay. Here's the story that goes with the Eric Clapton picture. I took Jean, one of my models, to an Eric Clapton show. On the way, she told me how excited she was because she loved Tom Petty. We're going to see Eric Clapton, I explained. Eric Clapton, Tom Petty, same thing, she said. And I realized she had no idea who this musical giant was. As we drove, I gave her a brief history lesson. We had excellent concert seats, and after I had photographed the first three songs, I returned to our seats, but Jean wasn't there. After the show was over, nearly everyone had left. Here struts Jean from backstage. Here's your backstage pass, Jimmy, she said. Follow me. Turned out, during the show, the whole band had been checking her out, and their tour manager had hooked her up with passes. So in the end, it was Jean who introduced me to Eric Clapton.
Oh my gosh, it's true. They do that during concerts, don't they?
It happens, and so the moral of the story is: when you go to a rock show, bring a pretty girl.
Are you taking notes tonight, Dr.
Yes,
Day?
Yes, I am.
You should be.
I'll describe for the listeners this picture, which is one of my all-time favorites that I ever took of Eric Clapton. He's wearing a beautiful checked suit, a black and white checked suit with a yellow T-shirt, and the yellow T-shirt is soaked with sweat because he's been playing so hard,
mm-hmm.
and he's playing a beautiful Stratocaster Fender Stratocaster guitar, sort of a almost a metallic gray looking paint finish on it. Of course, he's very famous for playing Stratocaster guitars during his career.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is, and you can the look in his face is he. How does my wife? They've gone away. They've left us. They're totally
mm-hmm.
in their own world. And with the great artist,
right.
you can see that look in their face, knowing they're not here. They're totally into what they're doing, and they've left. So Now, I had to tell you, I was in the hospital yesterday with my wife, and she was having some tests done, and everything turned out great. And I had a chance to read the book by Steven Tyler and Aerosmith, and you have an amazing photograph of Aerosmith in concert. Now, how many times have you had a chance to photograph them?
Many times. I think certainly four times or more. This picture, be happy to describe it. It's well, Steven Tyler's in midair.
yeah.
Legs
yes.
spread wide apart, and he's wearing these skin-tight pants. He's bare-chested. He's not wearing a shirt, showing off his muscles, and he's holding the microphone stand. Remember, he's in midair. And, of course, his famous scarves are attached to his microphone stand, and they're flailing
sure.
in the breeze. And then over to what would be his right is Joe Perry, the great guitar player of Aerosmith, and with his hair over his face like Cousin It, and surrounded by his rack of amplifiers. And behind both of them is the Aerosmith logo, lit up in magenta-type colors.
It's a beautiful photograph. They're kind of the, as far as staying together as long as they have, they're kind of the American Rolling Stones.
I agree, absolutely.
Because according to that book, it's a miracle they're still together. It's an absolute miracle half of them are still alive.
Well, it makes me think of another picture in this book, and of course that's the picture I took of Keith Richards.
Oh, yes.
And
he has a look
that,
on his face that he would like.
Yes. Well, one of the things I love about that particular picture, Keith is looking right at me. I'm mm-hmm. out in the audience, maybe about the 20th row, but I've got my telephoto lens, and I just caught him at that right moment. It's not that frequently that I get a shot where the artist in the middle of all that they're doing in a performance is just looking right at me. And here he is, and he's wearing a red headband, and of course he's got his skull ring on, and the story I tell about this picture of Keith mm-hmm. Richards is kind of interesting. At that time, and that was in 1988, I had never photographed the Rolling Stones before. Later I would photograph the Rolling Stones, and one of those pictures is also in the book. But in 88, because I had never photographed the Rolling Stones yet, and Keith Richards went out on tour, and the Stones, of course, don't tour every year, as we know. It takes long
right.
breaks in between tours. I thought, who knows? That I may never be able to photograph the Stones. So I made sure that I photographed this Keith Richards show, and he had a band called the Expensive Winos, and that was this tour. And so it was very exciting to. That was my first opportunity to photograph anybody in the Rolling Stones, who, of course, I've always been a fan of. But later I did get to photograph the Rolling Stones.
I believe Waddy Wachtel was in his band then.
That's correct. Waddy played and at this very show. And then, although I didn't know him personally at that time, I certainly know his music, and we all know that he worked so closely with Warren Zevon for many years and so many other great artists. Waddy Wachtel certainly being one of the great, great guitar players in the recording business. A songwriter too, in fact, and now he's doing a lot of work on movies and I think television, the music for those mediums. But when I moved here to Los Angeles, when I moved my studio from back in Minneapolis, when I moved to Los Angeles, one of the first people I met when I moved out here was Waddy.
Wow.
And he was doing some local shows, and that was so exciting to be able to see him in a very small venue and get to know him. And he's really one of the greats, and done a lot of tours and played on every record one could think of.
Well, I saw on him playing with Stevie Nicks.
Oh, yes, that's correct. Well, he's been with Stevie for decades.
And he's
inseparable.
Oh, and he's a very tasteful and clean guitar player. I mean, he's just amazing. Speaking of tasteful and legendary, John Lee Hooker.
Oh, yes. John Lee Hooker is in this book, and he influenced so many guitar players and singers as well. Great songwriter, and I got to photograph him a couple of times. This picture in my book, Rock and Roll Lens, is when he performed at the Carlos Santana celebration here in Los Angeles about 15 years ago. And it's a pretty much of a close-up of John Lee Hooker. He's wearing the famous hat that he'd always wear and his dark glasses, and he's playing that beautiful Gibson hollow body guitar. And I caught him just when he's waving to somebody in the audience. And I'm very lucky to have photographed him because he was one of the great legends, of course, who's passed on since.
You know, it's so special. I can remember seeing Muddy Waters, one of his last shows. And believe it or not, it was here in Indianapolis before he passed. And these old blues legends. In fact, I can remember a documentary the Stones had done, and they were in Chicago in 65 on tour. So they went to Chess Records because it was legendary, especially for the English kids that collected these old blues records of these fantastic artists. And as Keith Richards says, there was Muddy Waters painting the bathroom at Chess Records. So it's kind of cool, you know, in their later years, they finally got their due. I mean, it's just amazing what they've inspired.
You mentioned Muddy Waters, and I think I can say that Muddy Waters, although I never got to see him in concert, let alone photograph him, never got to do that, he's kind of responsible indirectly for my making a point of photographing many of these legends, because I did have an opportunity to see him when I was very young. I forget where, somewhere, and I just didn't go. And I always regretted that because he passed away not too much later. And so when some of these old-timers are still out there performing, I do everything I can to get to a show and photograph these legendary people, certainly at the very top of my list right now, because there's a lot of great players that I've not photographed.
Mm-hmm.
At the very top would be Fats Domino.
Oh,
certainly one of the creators of rock and roll, from its genesis with rhythm and blues, and he's still with us. He's down there in New Orleans, and maybe that'll happen someday. So I've had the opportunity to photograph a lot of wonderful, great musicians, but there are some that I haven't, and so I've always got my goals of seeing everybody I can.
Well, you do have a legend you did photograph that I'm sure Muddy Waters and B.B. King inspired, Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Oh,
what a
yes.
wonderful picture.
Thank you. He was one of the nicest people I've met in the music business. And
really?
I tell a story there with the Stevie Ray. The picture, by the way, that I took of Stevie Ray Vaughan that appears in my book, he's got his guitar behind the back of his head, you know, rested on the back of his neck. He's playing it backwards like Jimi Hendrix would have done and did do. Jimi Hendrix did many things, played the guitar with his teeth.
Yeah.
But Stevie's got a very interesting pose there. He's wearing this magnificent belt buckle. And but in any event, the story I tell that relates to meeting Stevie Ray Vaughan is that at one point, at a later concert, I was able to get backstage, and I asked Stevie if I could shoot a few portraits of him. And there were a lot of people backstage who wanted to visit with him. Well, here's a guy who he really didn't know me very well.
Mm-hmm.
He took the time. He posed for me. He did allow me to take a picture when he was smiling, and then he changed his position. And of course, I made prints of that shoot and sent them to him. But he was just a terrific guy. And in fact, years later, when Joe Walsh was flipping through my portfolio, Joe liked that photo that I'm describing to you so much, he ordered a copy from me, which really meant a lot to me because Joe Walsh was one of my earliest inspirations because, as you know, I'm not only a photographer, but I'm a guitar player.
Oh, yes.
And Joe Walsh is one of my favorite guitar players. So that was kind of a great sort of synergy and a meeting of of things that made a special moment out of, originally out of a Stevie Ray Vaughan interaction?
Well, I have to say, when we would go to New York and do the Today Show, we take animals. One time, our driver, our van driver, took us around New York City. I always asked them, you know, have you taken anyone famous lately? And it turns out that he was the driver for Stevie Ray Vaughan every time he would come to New York. And basically, after the show was done, he would take Stevie Ray around to the various drinking establishments till 4 or 5 in the morning. And when he passed, Stevie Ray's family invited this gentleman to his services, his funeral.
That's incredible. That's a great story that I have not heard, and I'm not surprised, because that's the kind of person he was, and he also surrounded him with people, people that he worked with that were of that same, just had that down-home nice quality about them. By the way, you talk about, you talk about animals all the time, something that Dr. Day was talking about, I believe, that really I found very interesting. Do you guys know what a similarity between monkeys and eels?
Monkeys and eels?
Yeah.
Hmm.
The musical reference I'm going for.
Oh. Hmm.
Shock the monkey.
Very good.
Whoa, whoa.
All right, so I'm not a stand-up comedian. What can I say?
Oh,
my last
wow.
name may be Steinfeld, but it's not Steinfeld.
Peter Gabriel. Yeah.
Very good. Correct. Peter Gabriel.
Yeah, Peter Gabriel. Our guest tonight, Jimmy Steinfeld. Rock and Roll Photographer's fantastic new book, Jimmy Steinfeld, Rock and Roll Lens, 30 Years of Music Photography and Stories. It's an absolutely amazing book, folks. It's going to be available at jimmysteinfeld.com. We'll tell you how you can get your copy. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Bobcat in the Cave.
Gosh, Johnny, playing in the cave sure is neat.
Oh, boy, a kitty cat.
Sassy, the kitty cat's yelling.
What, Sassy? It's not a kitty, it's a bobcat? Speaking of cats, you like to stress the importance of adopting cats from animal shelters? Over 5 million cats go into animal shelters every year? And with millions of healthy cats to choose from, it's a shame more people don't adopt from shelters?
This bobcat's heavy. Help, Sassy!
Why bother? We'll just get into more trouble tomorrow?
What's that supposed to mean? Oh, nuts.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
Our guest tonight, Jimmy Steinfeld, in his brand new book, Rock and Roll Ends, a 30-year history of music, photography, and stories. Absolutely amazing book, lots of artists, and we'll get back with Jimmy in just a moment. We want to remind everybody, this half of Larry Batson's Wild World is brought to you by McGregor Mountain Lodge in beautiful and scenic Estes Park, Colorado. And I read some rock and roll trivia, Jimmy, about Estes Park, and I guess Chris Hillman of the Byrds bought a pair of moccasins from a store in Estes Park, Colorado, and Steve and Tyler loved them so much that he ordered a pair of moccasins from the same store in Estes Park, Colorado. We got to find them. And I guess every time he recorded, he would wear these moccasins, which is so McGregor Mountain Lodge, Estes Park, Colorado. I'm sure that would be an interesting bit of trivia. But if you're planning to go to the western part of the country, Colorado, man, Estes Park, perfect place to stay, McGregorMountainLodge.com. Folks, you're on the boundaries of Rocky Mountain National Park. There'll be bighorn sheep in your backyard, possibly, and elk. It's absolutely amazing. The foothills of the Rockies, Long's Peak, the Mummy Range, it's all amazing. Go there at least once in your life to the scenic beauty of Rocky Mountain National Park. Stay at McGregor Mountain Lodge and get all the information at McGregorMountainLodge.com. They make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio. The artists that are in the exciting new book by Jimmy Steinfeld, amazing photographer, Rock and Roll Lens, 30 Years of Music, Photography, and Stories. And, Jimmy, I came to this page, that would be page 41, and the infamous and supposedly inspired so many people, including the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, and who knows else, Chuck Berry.
The legend.
The legend. Go ahead.
He plays a guitar that's the one guitar that I really want. I don't mean his own personal guitar, but he plays, I believe it's a Gibson 345, a ES-345, kind of a rare guitar, a rare model. And I've got some pretty cool guitars, but that's the kind I've got my eye on.
Do they not still make them?
I think they do. I'm not certain. It's cool because it's got a stereo switch built into the guitar, and you can go from mono to stereo. I believe that's what it allows you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the guitar he's playing in this picture and is pretty famous for playing that particular model.
I can remember, I'm sure you've seen it, Hail, Hail, Rock and Roll, the documentary, when Keith Richards tried to put a band together for Chuck Berry, and they played a concert in St. Louis. And they were talking to Chuck as he's getting on a plane, and he basically, when he travels, he puts that rare, beautiful guitar on baggage. I mean, it's nothing special. I mean, he just says he buys a new one every so often. It's like, no respect.
He's
for
old
him.
School.
He is old school.
He's known for showing up. Well, first off, he travels to his gigs just himself.
Right.
He'll rent a car right from the airport, drive himself to the gig, and when the show's over, just reverse. And I mean, it's just an amazing old school way of touring and performing. And of course, he's one of the greatest songwriters that ever was and ever will be.
Yeah.
If you'd like, I'll read the brief story that I wrote opposite the picture.
It pretty much portrays his personality.
Yeah. Here we go. Okay. Chuck Berry was playing at the Carlton Dinner Theater, where the Mall of America now stands. I walked backstage and found his dressing room. The door was ajar. I poked my head in, and there stood Chuck Berry in his undershorts. Believe me, I was embarrassed, but what can I say? I offered him a print that I had made for him from an earlier show, but Chuck didn't even look at it. He just set it aside. And then I unrolled a giant poster of the same picture, which I had brought, hoping this legend would sign for me.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I don't sign photos. But somehow I had the guts or the nerve to ask a second time, you know, could you please? It would mean so much to me. And this time he signed it, and of course I cherish it. It's on the wall of my studio, and it says, to Jimmy, Chuck Berry, and he added a smiley face.
How much nerve did that take to ask him a second time?
I had to really get up my courage. I mean, as soon as I handed him the 8x10 for him and he's standing there getting ready for a show, I just about turned around and ran out. But I thought, this will probably be the only time in my life I'll be able to talk to Chuck Berry. And somehow I broke on through, and he signed that wonderful large print for me.
Well, you know, there's the old story when Keith Richards ran into him somewhere, and Keith says, Chuck, Chuck, and he just ignored him. And then he tapped him on the shoulder, and Chuck came around and roundhoused him right in the face with an uppercut.
Ouch.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. That's from the movie. They talk about that.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, he's probably... Now, you probably, professionally, you probably shouldn't tell us, but who was the most, I don't want to use the word difficult, challenging artist to photograph?
There's a couple of stories in the book that don't really show anything mean about the meeting, but they make it a bit embarrassing. Well, I guess the Chuck Berry one has a little embarrassment, but here's a good one if I can find it, and it's from one of my heroes, and that's Warren Zevon, the great songwriter. He was in Minneapolis, which, by the way, as the reader will find when they read my book, that my studio was there for many years. And he came and played a show in 1987, the year the Twins were in the World Series, and as a matter of fact, won the World Series. And Warren Zevon is wearing a Twins jersey while he's performing.
Mm-hmm.
But sometime later, the following story happened, and I think it kind of speaks to his personality. I'll never forget the last time I saw Warren Zevon. I was backstage at a Lou Reed concert with Warren, and we chatted about his music and past tours. I reminded Warren how many times I had photographed him and told him I'd love to send him some of those photos from my archive. That's when I found myself on the receiving end of Warren Zevon's famous biting sarcasm. I'll be sure to call you when I write my memoirs, he said.
I'd heard that he, in his last, of course, he's passed now. In fact, I can remember when Warren played his basically last, concert. It was on Letterman. He came on Letterman.
That's right.
Toward the end. And I'll tell you what, he had some brilliant songs. Of course, we all know how Kid Rock stole Werewolves of London and made it into what he made it into. And Excitable Boy and, the one about the lawyers.
The Lawyers, Guns, and Money.
That's right. Okay. It was on the tip of my tongue. So he
mentioned Werewolves of London, by the way. I believe that Waddy was a co-writer on that song with Warren.
Oh, that's just
we talked about Wadi Wachtel earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just an amazing piece of work. That'll stand on its own for many, many more years to come.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, one of the artists that's in your book that I've always heard is quite the challenge to work with as far as a musician, and how he would, during his performances, he would look at a particular person he didn't think doing quite well on their trumpet or bass guitar, or thought they'd made an error, and he'd go, "Gotcha," James Brown.
Oh, yes. Well, there is the story about James Brown in here does speak to that a bit. Do you remember what page that
yes,
picture of James Brown is?
53.
Mm-hmm. Well, another legend. And by the way, as I was looking through my own book recently, I realized how many great musicians who were in the Blues Brothers movie I photographed.
Oh, wow.
I never really thought about it until I kind of was taking a second look at my book. Some of the people that I photographed that actually aren't in the book were also in the Blues Brothers movie, but I photographed during my career Ray
mm-hmm.
Charles, Aretha Franklin, James Brown, Cab Calloway, John Lee Hooker, almost every musician of great fame I photographed. But here's the James Brown story. It's very brief. And by the way, James Brown in this picture, he's wearing like a lime green jumpsuit. And he's got a big smile on his face, and he's playing a Moog Liberation synthesizer. It looks like a Moog guitar.
Yes.
Okay, here's the story. Coolio opened for James Brown at the Greek Theater, and Coolio wanted a photo with the legendary R&B singer. Mr. Brown posed for one photo, and while we waited a second for the flash to power up for one more photo, Mr. Brown said, "James Brown don't wait for no one," and he walked off.
Well, yeah. what's that old saying? Don't ever meet your heroes, or especially your musical heroes, because
right, it can bite you.
Oh, absolutely.
I did get to meet one hero in particular, I'm going to talk about it in the book,
mm-hmm.
And that, of course, is Bob Dylan, also another Minnesotan. I'm from Minnesota, he's from
mm-hmm.
Minnesota, and I did have the great opportunity to photograph him a number of times through the years, and actually he appears twice in this book. I think he's the only artist who appears twice in my book. One is a photo just of Bob Dylan, and then there's another picture in the book where it's Bob Dylan and Tom Petty when they toured together years ago, and that picture, by the way, appeared in Rolling Stone.
Wow.
But when I got to meet Bob Dylan, that fortunately for me was a really nice meeting. It was a brief meeting, but it was very nice. Like I did with Chuck Berry, I brought a picture, one of my favorites I had ever taken of him, as a gift for him,
mm-hmm.
and I gave it to him. And I didn't know what his reaction would be, so Bob Dylan's holding my picture of him, and he looks at it, and he says, "That's a good picture." So I just about fainted, and that story I tell, of course, in the book.
Oh.
Because that picture is in my book.
Well, Izzy Chait was on a couple of weeks ago, and he had a great Bob Dylan story.
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
Oh, well, the violinist that plays with Izzy, it's a young lady, and I can't think of her name offhand. When she had first gotten to, it has to be L.A., she was walking around with this violin case. This car pulls up. The window rolls down. This guy sticks his head out. "Can you really play that thing?" She says, "Yes, I can." She says, "Get in. We're going to the studio." And it was Bob Dylan.
That's such a great story. And that violinist is Scarlett Rivera.
There you go. Thank you.
Scarlett Rivera.
Yeah.
A very fine violinist, and I photographed her before as well.
Yeah, I think he said that she played on the Rolling Thunder tour with him. And that's magical when something like that happens, I'll tell you.
Yeah, isn't that something? You're... you're minding your own business, you're walking down the street, and Bob Dylan asks you to jump in the car.
That would make me suspicious at first. What the heck's going on? Of course, one of my favorite artists, well, probably my favorite living artist right now, Paul McCartney. And
he is in the book, of course, and I've had the great opportunity to photograph Paul McCartney and also Ringo Starr. Never got to photograph George Harrison, and of course John Lennon died quite a while before I started my career. But Paul McCartney just keeps on rolling along. I mean, it's just incredible. He keeps writing great songs. I grew up really, and I talk about it in the book, I grew up during his era with his band Wings.
Right.
And that was really my first, that's how I got to the Beatles. Basically, because the Beatles' music was, well, before, you know, I was growing up.
Sure.
But the Wings and Paul McCartney introduced me to what he had done. Then, of course, obviously, become a huge Beatles fan later on. And it was very exciting to photograph Paul McCartney. Now, of course, we need to call him Sir Paul.
Oh, that's right, yes. And I have to say that I did attend one of his concerts, and it's been 6-7 years ago, maybe longer. It's the most amazing show you'll see. He still, he gives his audience what they want to hear. I mean, he's just a fantastic performer. You've got a great photograph in here. You were mentioning Joe Walsh, but, of course, the band he's known for playing with besides the James Gang, the Eagles.
That's right. Another band I grew up with their music.
And I see.
That picture, there's a fun little story about that picture. Well, that's a picture of pretty much the whole band that was on a reunion tour that they did. And the story that goes with that picture talks about how excited I was back when I was a teenager, and I heard that Joe Walsh, who had already been one of my great guitar heroes, he's joining the Eagles? Oh, my God. This, you know, this great band is now going to be even greater. And so that was exciting. And, of course, I think the first record that they did together was just a little old record called Hotel California.
Right.
So that synergy, that magic that took place when they made some changes in the band, I just thought the band was great in all of its incarnations. But this picture is a left to right, Timothy B. Schmidt, Don Henley, Glenn Frey, Don Felder, and Joe Walsh. And I shot that picture back in 1995, and I wanted to make sure I got great pictures. So I rented a very expensive lens, a lens that was far too expensive for me to purchase. I rented it, very long telephoto lens, fast lens, and I'm sure glad I did because I could not have gotten this quality of shot from where I was sitting had I not used that special lens. And it was worth it to me because of my love of the Eagles and Joe Walsh and so forth.
Yes, and Timothy B. Schmidt seems to be flashing a look to one of the other band members, like,
oh,
you hit a wrong note.
I never looked at that. He does, kind of, yeah. Like, did you miss a note, or have we not decided where we're going to go for dinner after the show, or some question mark in his mind there?
Yeah, and Joe just is Joe. Was this in his sober days?
I believe so.
Yeah, because I think he's been sober for a while, but there for a while, I think the story that I remember hearing is he decided it was time to quit his consumption of alcohol so excessively when he woke up one morning and found out he was in Paris and doesn't remember the flight there or how he got there.
Oh, my gosh.
So he decided that maybe he should seek some professional help. But that's part of the rock and roll. And, you know, it's not all rock and roll because we have probably one of the most amazing country singers of all time, Tammy Wynette.
Yes, I did have the opportunity to photograph her very near the end of her career, her life. She played the House of Blues here in Los Angeles. And I had never photographed her before, never seen her in concert, certainly recognized her, you know, the legendary songs that she had written. And as I kind of mentioned earlier, when I, you know, found these opportunities to see and photograph these legends while they're still with us, I raced down there and I got a wonderful photograph of her. And, well, we have her music. I miss her.
Well, then when we talk about legends, too, you have this photograph with Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis Jr.
That's right.
It just looks like they're having a great time.
Yep. Well, of course, I grew up with their music around my home because my folks listened to their music. They were more of that era. And I'm going to read this story because it's very brief and it's kind of touching. And it's one of the last pictures in the book. By the way, this picture, for the listener, it's Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis Jr. They're both holding their microphones. This is in 1988, and they're wearing their beautiful tuxedos, and Frank's got a yellow pocket scarf. Okay, so here's the story that goes with this picture. Dean Martin is my favorite singer of his era. Along with his fellow Rat Pack members, he did a reunion tour. But just one day before the show, Dean got sick. I was lucky enough to photograph Frank and Sammy, but I'll always regret never having a chance to see Dean.
And, you know, there'll never be entertainers like that again.
I agree with you.
The charisma that those gentlemen had, and when they perform, Frank's not, they don't like, it's not, it seems like they're not working. I mean, just habits.
Yes, they had a expression they'd use often, and that was nice and easy.
Yeah. And
they would use that expression between themselves, and that's, well, to some extent, that's how they lived their lives and performed their shows, nice and easy. But we also know they had the parts of their lives that were out there.
All right,
yeah.
I hate to do this, but I have to.
Go
Do you know what's black and white and has two eyes?
No.
Sammy Davis Jr. and Sandy Duncan.
God.
Ba-dum-bum.
I really, can we take that part out of the program? You should be sorry. Go sit in the corner, Dr. Day.
I am.
Okay. And you have, finishing up the book, legendary Michael Jackson.
Yes. That's correct. I had the opportunity to photograph him that same year, actually, 1988. He had was on tour for the Bad LP.
Sure.
And he was the biggest pop star in the world. Certainly, is probably still of that stature.
I would say so.
I had that great opportunity to photograph that show and. What a show he put! I mean, he was the exciting performer of that era, like Sinatra was of his era, or Elvis was in the 50s, into the 60s. And I was lucky later on; I had the opportunity to photograph Janet Jackson and also Jermaine Jackson. But there just never was anybody, and never will be anybody quite like Michael Jackson in the world of the performing arts, no question about it. And by the way, on that tour, one of his backup singers was an unknown singer named Sheryl Crow.
Oh, I can remember that. Yes. Wow. Well, he is truly missed, and that is sounds kind of, I mean, truly missed. And, of course, Jerry Garcia with the Grateful Dead.
He was great. Can I mention the two places where listeners can get my book if they'd like?
Absolutely. Please do.
My book can be purchased at jimmysteinfeld.com and also on Amazon.
Well, that's amazing. I'll tell you what, it's a great tabletop book. I like big books, and the photographs are absolutely amazing. And we just hardly covered any of it because each photograph is breathtaking.
Thank you, Larry.
It's just marvelous. Jimmy Steinfeld, Rock and Roll Lens, 30 years of music photography and stories. And I assume you're still making music?
Absolutely. I'm always writing new songs, playing guitar, and I will keep you posted on that.
Well, are you still with Pete Hopkins?
Absolutely. Pete Hopkins, my songwriting partner in the band J.P. Hopfeld.
That's right. And we're very anxious for a new CD, so as soon as that happens, we want to definitely promote it, have it on the show, and have you guys on the show, because the last time we had a good time.
Thank you.
Our guest tonight, Jimmy Steinfeld. I want to remind everyone that you can download all of our shows absolutely free of charge at blogtalkradio.com/LarryBatson. Next week on the program, from the Five Americans, remember this song? Oh, it's probably before your time, Jimmy. Western Union. That's the one. Well, Mike, who wrote several of those songs and was with the band for several years, is now a book writer. He's got a great new novel. We're going to talk about it next week, and that means I have to read it this week. So my wife hasn't said it should be a movie or a television program. So that's a pretty good critique if my wife says that. What a great week. Thank you, Jimmy, for being on the program.
I enjoyed it.
Oh, we're so glad. And we'd like to thank Scott Carney for putting our musical collages together. As always, Melissa Hovey, our studio producer, Wayne Larson, our technical engineer, and Dr. Day, once again, a fantastic show.
Jimmy always has great stories.
Oh, my God.
He must come back.
Thank you, Dr. Day. We'll all have to go up to New York and go muskie and walleye fishing.
We should do that. I can get us a cabin.
And we'll take all of our instruments with us.
Have a great week, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week on Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Larry Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.